fuck was I talking about?
So True Blue was about a guy, touches a girl and meets a nice guy, but like a virgin with a metaphor for big dicks.
Okay, let me tell you what like a virgin's about. It's all about this Coos, who's a regular fuck machine. Now I'm talking morning, day, night, afternoon. Dick, 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 dick.
How many dicks is that?
A lot.
Then one day, she meets this John Holmes motherfucker, and it's like, whoa, baby. I mean, this cat is like Charles Bronson in The Great Escape. He's digging tunnels. All right, now she's getting a serious dick action, and she's feeling something she ain't felt since forever. Pain. Pain.
Chew, Toby, chew.
It hurts. It hurts her. It shouldn't hurt. You know, her pussy should be bubble young by now. But when this cat fucks her, it hurts. It hurts just like it did the first time. You see, the pain is reminding a fuck machine what it was once like to be a virgin. Hence, like a virgin.
And welcome to the Anime Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is still gold medal winning Jamaican Damon White.
You are a gold winning Jamaican.
I am a gold medal winning Jamaican.
Actually, on a side note, Trinidad won a gold medal.
Yes,
today.
They did.
In the javelin.
In what can only be described as extreme buck-ups.
Yes.
A 19-year-old junior championship threw the javelin so hard that everybody else looked to the side. I went, I'm not even going to try and hit that.
Yeah.
Just give him the medal. I don't have time. We can't do that.
Actually, they got two medals today. They got a bronze in the 4x4.
Those don't count.
Yet another buck-ups.
Those don't count. No one cares. Who is number three? Nobody cares.
Last week, when we won the gold, silver, bronze in the 200 meters, my office.
Who is the we?
Literally,
my office. You defected to Trinidad. There's no we here. Me and Douglas are we.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it here in Jamaica.
Yeah, we did.
Right? Land of wood and water. Etc. Etc. You dirty Trinidadians, leave my Jamaican people out of your conversation. Right? You had someone in the 100 meters, he came dead last.
My passport still says Jamaica.
That is the saddest thing I've ever seen. And that is fake. Also, very fake.
But yes, what did your office do?
Yes.
My office literally looked at me and said, Andrew, we're willing to send you home so you'll shut up.
Sure. All right. You win, Andrew, right? You have all the fastest people in your country, but you're here now. So at least pretend. No?
All right. You should have just... The favorite moment was when they started to come back at me and they were trying to make jokes and they continued to go onto the money joke, the currency joke. And I'm like, okay, guys, you know what? That's perfectly good. You know, the judges have come in and that joke gets a silver medal.
No, you should have said, well, with all that money, you should have been able to buy some gold medals, but you can't. All that money and you still rocks. Tell him enjoy.
Regardless, the Olympics is coming to an end, which means I can look forward to football starting back soon. Yes.
This has been the best summer for sports I've ever remembered. At no point, I think every single week I've had some kind of sport to watch. It's been terrific. I'm going to miss this summer, but it's football time, and then Formula One comes back in 2 weeks.
Are you guys in the fantasy league? Douglas, you are not.
Because nobody sent me an invitation.
You're already in the... As long as you sign back in.
Oh, really?
You're already in the league.
All right, fair enough. Because actually, I was just thinking about it. I think it was 2 days ago. I was like, hold on. Premier League is about to start, you know. Why have I not gotten an invitation? Has Andrew just decided to abandon me?
Joel Poston tried his best to come up with the best name. The name of his team is For the Ducks, which Andrew will appreciate. But I've come out the victor once again in terms of naming. The name of my team is, of course, Asafa Powell. Thank you, guys.
I refuse to play your game, and my team remains the same name of opposite of Batman.
I should change my team name to Downing to Carol, just to keep...
No! Just to keep... But they're... Wait, no, they are on the same team. Oh,
yes,
shit.
Yes. Yep.
But anyways, we should get back to our film podcast. Talking about what we've been watching this week. Damian, what have you been watching?
I didn't watch much, with the exception of the Olympics. But Jamaica is still great, and all other teams are less great. I saw Entertainment Weekly a while back put up, 50 movies, 50 great movies that you probably haven't heard of. And I went through the list, and funnily enough, we would have seen about 30 out of those 50 movies, because we've watched a lot of obscure shit. And so I was kind of proud to, someone puts out this big list of movies people haven't heard of. And of course, I've heard of most of them. But there are a couple of movies there that I hadn't seen. One of them is Smiley Face. Now, what's the girl from the scary movies? What's her name?
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris.
I have actually watched that movie. Is that the one where she gets really high and just walks around? Yes, I've seen.
I've never heard some of that movie. And so I sat down.
Why would you do that?
Because it's 50 great movies you probably haven't seen.
That is one of the 50 great movies?
That is one of the 50 great movies.
Are you serious?
And I watched that movie. That movie is... How can I put it? It is really bad. I don't know if the movie makes sense if you smoke a lot. But for me, the person who does... I know it sounds like a lie because I live in Jamaica. But I don't smoke weed. I'm the one person here that doesn't smoke weed. The movie's really bad. Anna Faris is bad in it. There are a lot of kind of known actors in there. The guy from The Office and some others. And there's a few funny bits. But by and large, the movie is not funny. It comes off as trying too hard. And after watching that, I went... If this is one of the 50, I should probably avoid a lot of things on the list. So from there, I did a bad thing. I watched... God damn it. What's Jennifer Lawrence, Fire.
Oh,
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, right.
Yeah.
That's how much I like that movie. I sat down and I watched the Hunger Games. Now, Jennifer Lawrence is good in it. Stanley Tucci is free in Stanley Tucci, so he's great in everything. The rest of that movie is really bad. It's really
so. Damien, aggressively back bad. To my question: mm-hmm. If you had to watch one of them, Clockwork Orange style, mm-hmm. Hunger Games or John Carter?
I'd watch Hunger Games a billion times instead of watching John Carter. Two reasons. First of all, it's a slightly better movie. It's not a horrendous disappointment. Like, I'm not remembering. He just told me the name of the movie.
John Carter.
I cannot remember the name of the movie. It's not as bad as John Carter. But Jennifer Lawrence is in it, so that's a giant plus there. I'll sit and watch her do anything. But The Hunger Games, I don't know if the books are any better, and I don't care. The first movie is bad. The setup doesn't make any sense because they spend about 30 seconds setting up the movie. They scroll text, then you're launched into this movie with people supposedly suffering and in this wilderness, and then a spaceship beams down, picks two people, they fly them to the city, which is supposed to represent the decadence of civilization, and then they have these children murder each other. Which, when I was watching the movie, I turned to my sister and I went, they should throw out the PG-13 rating once and for all. This movie has children murdering other children for about an hour straight. And it gets a PG-13, which cannot make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. How is this movie even remotely PG-13? How do you explain that to your child? Look, this is a movie the children killing children, you probably shouldn't be doing this. But you can take from this movie that you, if you try hard enough, you'll win, right? Is that a lesson that we learned? And then
Eye of the Tiger.
The movie ends so poorly. The games are over. The king walks away, and then the movie ends. There is no setup for, because they're making more movies, but there's no setup at all for the more movies. This movie is completely standalone. There's the Hunger Games, they win, and they go home. And the movie just goes, yeah. Like, alright, so there's two more of these movies. How and why? And I refuse to read any synopsis. I don't care. The movie's poor. If the book is anything like this, then the book is also poor. But it did make a shit ton of money, and they keep adding more stars that I want to see in movies into the next two movies, so I'll probably go and watch those, but at least now I have my hopes adjusted to where they're supposed to be, which is extremely low. And then to finish this trifecta of nonsense, I sat down and I watched all the episodes of Men at Work.
Oh, why?
And
why?
It is mediocre. It is not bad. It's also not good. It is merely mediocre. There are some jokes there that work and are kind of funny, but the jokes feel like the lowest common denominator. They just, you know, go for the broadest, widest jokes and they stick to those, and it feels kind of lazy at times. It is the opposite of what Community does, which is they hone in on something that is like you have to have all these things, and it is funneled to a fine point, right? So much so that a lot of people watch Community don't get most of the jokes, and that is what I want. I want jokes to be so specific and so funny that only like one out of every 10 persons would understand why that has any chance of being funny. But Men at Work, they just go, well, you know, this guy's a nerd and he plays video games, and some hot chicks play video games, and what if we had this happen and this, and you go, I guess some of this is funny, but by and large, it's not real good. I would not recommend this TV show to anybody, but that is neither here nor there, because it's been renewed, so the era of terrible TV seems to be back upon us. And that's pretty much it. And Olympics. I don't know if you heard, Andrew, Usain Bolt is really fast.
He's record-breaking fast, in fact.
Yeah. But he can be beaten with a stick in his sleep. Outside of that, I don't know what people are talking about. So, Douglas, you have a massive list. It is I cannot believe you've seen all these. Wait, what's that? I'm getting news in off the wire. Douglas hasn't seen shit.
Douglas, has he seen Detention?
No, please. I told you, I'm having problems sourcing the material. So, this week I watched a few things. I watched The Reaper, which is a show that first came out, I think, a good maybe 3-4 years ago, maybe even further. It's about this guy who on his 21st birthday learns that his parents sold his soul to the devil. And so now he must work for the devil and do essentially whatever the devil wants him to do. And what the devil wants him to do is to become kind of like a bounty hunter.
Is that the premise of Ghost Rider?
No. Because I'm in Ghost Rider, hold on. It is, but there's one difference, which is actually very small. But the only difference is that, two differences.
Mm.
One, Ghost Rider's a big horse steering man.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
With a motorbike on fire.
With a motorbike on fire. Thank you.
Fine.
And two,
if we're going to point out the obvious.
And two, Ghost Rider actually sold his own soul.
Okay. I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy being horrified by what was on the screen.
Right. So, what happened in this one is spirit, this guy just finds out. You know, the devil visits him and he's like, "What? Are you crazy? How did you get in my car?" And
quick question, why did they sell his soul to the devil?
Apparently he was very sick and I would assume dying.
Okay.
And the devil offered them a cure.
Of course.
And the story goes that they said, you know what, if we just don't have children, then he can't get the soul of our firstborn because our firstborn won't exist. And then, you know, after a while, they go to a doctor and the doctor tells them, but you're infertile. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, so it doesn't really matter. Well, apparently that doctor...
it was the devil.
Oh, it wasn't the devil, but he owed the devil a favor or something like that. And so he just told a wee bit little lie. And so 9 months later, a firstborn was
there's
made.
No abortions in this movie.
Apparently
fiction.
Not. Apparently not.
Fair enough.
Apparently, the prospect of this child having to serve the devil wasn't abhorrent enough to them to actually require an abortion.
Fair.
So hold on, my question is just because I don't really care about this show. I'm just asking out of curiosity. If they had let the child been born. Mm-hmm. And shoot the child in the face immediately. Every child after which the devil couldn't get, right? Because there was a firstborn child.
That's true. And I think that what you're talking about is more post-birth abortion, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Which makes sense.
And
yeah.
Intensely legal. Yes. Don't think you can shoot a child in your face. Not yet. I've looked into it. There's a couple of children.
I'm sure there's a clause in that law.
Me and Damien have started a petition, but right now we haven't got very many signatures. Right? So it's not quite there yet.
We've got a few. Don't get us wrong.
But yeah, so the premise is a little bit ridiculous, but at the same time...
That's fun.
It's a fun kind of ridiculous. The show itself, though, I only watched the first episode, but it's fairly...
Meh.
No, yeah, meh. So, I'm probably going to see...
I'm assuming this is BBC.
No, actually, no, this is America.
What?
It was actually, the first episode was directed by Kevin Smith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's mainly the only reason I watched it, I think, because I remember when it came out, and it got a lot of buzz, and people were saying how good it was, and I saw it on Netflix, and I said, you know what, why not?
Let me try. Saying directed by Kevin Smith doesn't have the same pull that it once did.
This is true.
After that Bruce Lee's nonsense and then that religious nonsense. He's thrown the little goodwill he had down the drain.
This is true. Anyway, another TV show that I watched, which is British.
Shocking.
Funnily enough, who would have thought?
The Take. No.
Is Ripping Yarns. This is a TV
show. I really do think you're making up these. Andrew, back me up on this. He's making up these TV shows. He's waiting for us to call his bluff. Right? I need to go back into the old podcast and just fact check some of this shit. Right? Blowing the balloon, stabbing the puppy. Like, what? There's no TV show like that. Right?
And then he gets away by saying, oh, all the guys who... don't really know their names though from those other shows that we like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're around there.
They might be in this one.
Okay, so let me start talking about all of these other guys who we might not know the names of, but they're in there.
Mm-hmm.
Two fairly small, nobody really knows these guys. Michael Palin and Terry Jones, who used to be in this fairly unknown show by the name of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Never heard of it?
Okay. Yeah, I figured as much. I mean, it wasn't really that good. Nobody really paid attention. It, you know, didn't go on that long. It was rubbish, actually. Yeah.
I think you've hit the arms of limit.
Okay. So, yes, it stars these two who were founding members of Monty Python. And it's very much in that vein. It's around that time as well. I think it was in the 70s that they did this. And it's very much Monty Python humor. But at least in the first episode, they've kind of forgotten or done away with the sketch part of it. So from what I understand, and it makes sense from the name, is that each episode is kind of a separate story, and it's of course a comedy, and whatever it is going to be, you know, this ridiculous, the same Monty Python ridiculous type of humor. And so it's, I don't know, I enjoyed it, but that's because I like Monty Python, and that's how I would pitch this to anybody. If you have seen Monty Python and you like Monty Python, you'll probably like the show. Quick question. Otherwise,
are there people that don't like Monty Python?
You'd be surprised.
I've never heard of these people.
You'd be very surprised.
Is Andrew one of those people?
No,
nodding his head.
I love dearly.
Okay.
I mean, I have had my scuffles with Life of Brian, but that's just one specific thing.
Yeah, Life of Brian is probably the weakest link. I agree. But generally, Monty Python is, what's the word? I mean, amazing is just too, it's not enough. You know, Monty Python is
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, all right. Since we're there, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Damien.
Yes.
Favorite Monty Python sketch?
I don't know. All of them. They kind of just meld into one at this point. I've watched all of them. I enjoy all of them. Most people like the Holy Grail.
That's no, not movie.
Oh, you're talking about the movie?
Specific movies? Sketch.
Well, a specific sketch? Sketch. So it could be from any movie or any of the TV shows.
I don't know. I don't know. I like most of them. I don't know. I'd have to go back and rewatch. I haven't seen Monty Python, any of them in a long while. So I'd have to go back and watch them. But I used to watch them a lot and I enjoy them. And most of the comedy that we watch now is built off Monty Python. So, like, it's fun to see things that happened so long ago still feel kind of relevant.
Yeah.
Most of them were pretty good. I haven't seen The Life of Brian, you say, is the name. I haven't seen that one. But most of the ones that I see and remember, I only remember the good ones. Let's just say that.
Well, are you talking about the movies?
Yeah, just
there are only three movies.
I know. But you're talking about all the things that have in the movie. Right, so I only remember.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay,
right, the good bits. I don't remember any.
So, wait, you haven't watched the TV shows?
No.
What, any of them?
No.
I mean, I can't. I have to admit, I haven't watched all of the TV show either, but I have watched some, quite a bit.
Damien, yes. As soon as you can, go to YouTube and look up the funniest joke ever written.
That's been on YouTube forever. It's been on YouTube forever.
Well, honestly, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think you have it, but even if you don't have it, and even if it's for something other than this, you need to get it. I'm pretty sure Monty Python is on Netflix, and the TV show. I mean,
okay.
And you should just, you know, get Netflix. It's $8 a month.
Is it in the Mos Def?
I don't know about Monty Python. I don't know about the Monty Python. That, remember, that's a show from like the 60s.
You don't get free passes anymore.
So,
with Netflix and the HD SD question, it always depends on availability of the print. Nope.
No, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. The thing about Monty Python is it was made in the 60s. It and also, I'm pretty sure the last release of it was on DVD. So I don't think that they have a
HD
version.
Have you seen the Star Trek season 1? Blu-ray thing?
No, but that's different. These are things that have gone onto Blu-ray. I don't think Monty Python is.
They had to dig up dirty boxes all and had to rescan in everything. And
I mean,
even
I know that all the movies are on
Blu-ray. Damien, I'm not arguing the fact that we should say it's old, therefore we can't promise it. What I'm saying is maybe it's not. No one's released it on Blu-ray yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Then they should. I refuse to watch anything in standard def.
What about Airborne?
Airborne does not count.
Anyways, let's move on, Douglas. So you were talking.
I'm not sure how to approach this because technically I watched three movies
Get to
this week, But really, it's just one overarching.
Give me the names of the two shitty movies.
Okay, the two shitty movies. Yes. I can't give you the two shitty movies. Because you see, this week I finally got a chance to watch The Dark Knight Rises. And so, in preparation for The Dark Knight Rises, I had to watch two other movies.
Right.
And those movies were
Superman
Star Trek
Returns.
I love how we both had the same plan. clearly, those two movies were the first two Batman. Right. Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
And The Return of Khan. Of course.
How does no one say Green Lantern?
Because we blocked that out of memory.
Try not to think about it.
So, this movie...
Flash Gordon.
This movie is pretty awesome, as one would expect... From Chris Nolan, Christian Bale.
That's not what the internet says.
I mean, that's not what the internet
says.
Yes,
the backlash on that movie has accelerated into hyperspeed.
Wow.
Before the movie came out, everybody's like, holy shit, they did it. And then the second the movie came out, all these nerds descended upon the movie. I went, it doesn't follow this.
I hate
this
that
movie
shit.
Shit.
I hate that shit. Can I tell you?
No. First of all, a lot of them aren't complaining so much about following comic book arcs as much as they're complaining about a lot of plot holes that are in the movie itself.
Yeah. How does Batman get back into the city? How does this? How does that? No one gives a shit. Guys, hey guys, you nerds, no one cares. It's supposed to be a fun movie. If you want something to make sense, try not watching a Batman movie. He owns a bat plane. The second that came on screen, you should have just gone, oh, this is not going to make any more sense ever. I'm on board.
He jumps off buildings and flies with a cape.
Right.
That is a cape most of the time, but then he just wills it into being a hovercraft.
But
I'm pretty sure that is not possible.
30 minutes into the movie when you see that he's going to become Batman again. The whole theater got a little excited. Like, yes, Batman's coming back. That first shot, when the lights go out and the police chief is like, you really don't want to see this. Dead silence. Nothing. You could hear people breathe. You see, when Batman showed up, you don't think that he actually showed up in the theater. People were so excited. I'm like, so it went from that to by the end of the movie, everyone's like, yeah, but... this didn't happen. And this, everybody liked that movie. And people who don't like it, please go make your own Batman movie and fuck right off.
So listen, this movie, it was... You see, the more I think about it, the more, A, I want to watch it again.
I've seen it 3 times.
And
two,
it
keeps getting better.
Why have you seen it 3 times?
Because
listen,
you
no,
didn't
wait,
call
wait,
me
wait,
this
wait.
Week.
Wait. I was
you
about,
were supposed
wait,
to call
hold
me.
On, hold on, hold on, hold on. First, I was going to say that the last time I talked to you, I'd only watched it a second time,
yes.
Twice.
Yes.
And why did you not call me so that on the third time I could have watched it with you again?
You said you were going to call me this week.
I did call you, and then you said you couldn't make it on the day I was going.
Right.
Not that I actually went on that day.
Oh,
let's not
exactly.
Worry about that.
And then I said, well, Douglas went to see it, so I guess I'll have to watch it by myself.
What the fuck?
I guess I'll have to watch it myself again.
I would have watched it a second time. I want to watch it a second time. this movie is so good. I mean, it's hard to even say much about it without spoiling, because there's so many things in there that really are unexpected.
Guys, here's how good this movie is. Catwoman is awesome in this movie, and she's not called Catwoman at any point, ever. This movie is great.
Yes. I was very happy with the way she used... I mean, Nolan used her, because, to tell you the truth, that was one of my biggest...
You're skeptical.
That made me very upset that he used Catwoman, because what I really loved about the first movie, right, was that I know a lot of people that really follow Batman knew all about Ra's al Ghul and were like, oh, Ra's, he's not weird.
Mm-hmm.
For me, he was a weird character. I didn't know who he was, right? And I loved that about the first movie, that really and truly, this was a Batman movie without any of the big
Batman's.
Five. Yeah, right? And then the second movie came out, and yes, they used the Joker, but
it wasn't Joker
from the comic. Well, so, it was, but it wasn't what you expected.
Right.
And then when I saw this, he did it again with both Catwoman and Bane, because yeah. that was what I was very upset about. The two biggest villains that you saw in the trailer, I was like, but these are just regular Batman villains.
Yeah.
What?
But, how will they exist in this world?
But they turn that around.
But in Nolan we trust.
Oh my goodness. They use them perfectly. And as usual, Tom Hardy is amazing. I mean, I actually really love this movie because, well, I guess he did it in the second one as well. But the focus was taken off from Christian Bale. So in the first movie, you said to yourself, shit, Christian Bale is awesome as Batman. In the second movie, you're like, shit, fuck Batman. Heath Ledger is amazing. Awesome, and again, he did it in this movie where the focus was, this was almost not a Batman movie. That's how little, in a sense, in a way, Batman was actually a lead figure in this movie. And I love that he did that. I love the way that he filmed a lot of the movie, because if you look at it on the surface, especially the first half of the movie, it's almost very ordinary. It's like, he was just like, yeah, just put the camera up there. Don't move it. Just leave it. It's not anything important, whatever. But it actually, or at least in my mind, I mean, I can never tell you what these folks are doing, but in my mind, it almost helped to put the point that he was trying to put across. And I'm trying to say as little as possible here.
Douglas, which is, do you know how many people haven't seen Batman?
All right, fair enough. Okay, so let's
two people.
All right. So I love the way he did that, which was essentially in order to show that, you know, Batman was just this old decrepit, like useless, but he was nowhere near what he once was, and he didn't know it, and he was in denial, and he
thought,
you know,
he was still Batman,
and he found out in about 5 minutes after he put on the cape that he was not up to the task.
Not so gangster.
And I think that point was really, you know, helped by the cinematography.
Andrew Robinson, I've heard that you don't like this movie. I think you gave it a 0 out of 10. I saw a 0/10. What, is that correct?
That's incorrect, sir.
Okay.
It got the opposite of a 0 out of 10. But at the same time, I see.
How much? Douglas, you did math.
One?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the opposite of 0.
It's a 10 out of 0.
Actually, the opposite of 0 is undefined, isn't it? It's because it's. Yeah, I don't know.
I was bad at math.
The movie works in the fact that it is a ridiculously fun movie, and I loved it to tears. I loved the Bane versus Batman fight scene. That goes down the opening scene on the plane.
Yeah.
And seriously, guys, I don't want to lord this over you, but when you're in the IMAX and you see it
white
note.
Oh, the podcast is over? Oh, okay. Yeah, when you see it in this glorious 900-foot theater, I mean, I know you guys saw it on like a 2-foot screen, but when you see it in glorious IMAX, where from floor to ceiling it is all screen. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks. I feel better now. I think we should continue this podcast. I don't feel like walking out. No. Continue.
It's kind of just more awesome. But when I read a lot of the negative reviews and I see which points they harp on, it kind of reminds me of watching a lot of Batman moving forward, Chris Nolan movies, because even Inception, and I think I mentioned this before during our end of year discussion that year with Inception, is that the more that I watched it, while I still enjoy that movie, I see more and more problems, logic and plot wise, which sometimes it's one thing to call out those plot problems and say this makes it a lesser movie. Is another issue when you're just looking directly for them. And I look past a lot of those issues and I still see a fun movie that I loved. I look forward to the 10th viewing, where I will eventually get to that point where I'll start to go, alright, yeah, that don't make no sense.
But Andrew, what would you say is the, I guess, biggest problem that everybody has that you are in agreement with?
All right, the biggest moment where I went like, all right, guys, we're going to go a little bit further into that realm is you said, for example, in the first 30 minutes of the movie, you see, oh, this is old Batman who is going to break a few bones or something, do something stupid. He puts one little thing on his knee and, oh, he's fine again. He's going to go and be Batman and
okay,
everything works the same normal.
Is that that's the biggest problem people have?
That's one of them.
Okay, yeah, but hold on. Can I? Well, it was pretty stupid, but I don't
know.
No, I'm
talking about that as a problem. That as an issue.
I just want to retort.
The man has a bat plane.
Exactly. can we please go back to what is probably lauded as the best Batman movie ever, which is The Dark Knight? And can we go back to I'm not even going like into the middle of the movie or the end of the first scene where Batman appears. Yeah. And a gun is pointed in his face, and Batman takes that gun and bends the nozzle. Yeah. And then with that same implement, jumps on a truck and uses it as a can, or no, it's not a can opener, sorry. A truck opener. And opens the truck. How is it that that is not a problem, but putting something on your knee to make your knee work a problem? I mean, I'm not saying that either of them are
make sense.
Make any sense. I'm just saying if one is not
in this world. Look, if you're going to tell me, first of all, that bat plane is the most awesome thing I've ever seen in anything. So if you're going to accept that he has that and a bike, which is the most awesome bike in human history, if we're going to give him those two things,
and he has a cape that he can just will into a hovercraft.
Right. If we're going to accept that Batman exists in this universe, that a billionaire is going around fighting people, I really don't think having something on his leg to make his leg better takes me out of the film. As a matter of fact, I saw that I went, yeah, of course. Let's.
So hold on, guys. I think you're missing the point here. I still love that movie. Right?
Yeah, but that's a dumb complaint. The complaint that I've heard the most that I'd agree with is when they take him out of the city.
How does he get back in?
But that's not the
I didn't
the
want
point.
To get to that because I didn't want to talk about that.
Everyone on earth has seen this movie. And if you haven't seen it, it's been 4 weeks. We don't care about you anymore. The point is not that he made it back into this. He made it back into the city because he's Batman. Point is that he returned. The Dark Knight rises. He had to come back. And that is all that mattered. We don't care. You think he should have spent another 10 minutes or so showing how he bypassed all the guards or found some canal that he built 900 years ago and walked into the city?
No, I like to think that...
I don't care about how he got back in.
I like to think that he did the whole exile thing, yeah, but he knew which ones to step on, and so it was kind of like a game of hopscotch.
Fair enough.
You know, or no, actually, even better, a better analogy would be that scene in the Temple of Doom, the Last Crusade with Indiana Jones, and he has to spell Jehovah, no, but it starts with a Y.
I thought he built a catapult and just catapulted himself.
All right, guys, this movie is away from Batman. Right? Everybody
dumb bastards. Not everybody. Nerds are...
No.
What is Robin doing in this movie?
We.
The internet
we, everyone.
Is such... That is why I both love and loathe the internet. Because it is the best thing to ever happen. It is also undoubtedly the worst thing to have ever happened.
Actually, though, if there is one weakness... It's not even a weakness to the movie.
The bat plane isn't in more
in
scenes.
In it enough, yes.
Shit.
Actually, no. I didn't... I was a little bit... Robin was kind of an aside that...
Yeah, but they put that at the end so that there could... So that there's some way to continue this movie.
Nolan doesn't want to do it, but maybe somebody else
if
will.
You guys want to do a Robin movie, I'm not coming back.
Hello.
I'm pretty sure
they're going to do
under the right circumstances they could get him to come back.
But also, they're going to do another Batman movie because this is one arc. I mean, they can just decide to change it. Dollars. Yeah, you know.
They remade Total Recall on that movie. Shit. Andrew Robinson, have you seen anything? Make it snappy. We saw Batman.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
You saw Trinidad lose in the 100.
And pretty much everything else
you saw them lose at everything else. Then you saw some guy throw a stick further than anybody else. What was that?
I got to see Trinidad get a bronze because Canada was disqualified in the relays today.
Oh yes, that's true, that's true. They did. I forgot about that.
Dirty cheetos. I always knew it about you, Canada.
It's ridiculous. Did you see, though? He
might as well just run straight across the track. You're going to stop on the line that hard. just keep going.
Right, so let me get the crap out of the way. This week I saw The Baby Makers.
No, that movie has to be good. It has to be good. It has
Which
to be good.
Which one is The Baby Makers now? Remind me.
Super Troopers guy with Olivia Munn.
Oh wait, this is Super Troopers movie?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you... put that in the shit quality?
Bad Lizard? Robot?
They're called the... Shit. Lizard.
Something Lizard. Broken Lizard.
Broken Lizard. Right. Thank you. Yes.
So okay. He's wrong. You're wrong. Broken Lizard doesn't make shit movies. With the exception of the terrible movies that they made. But never mind.
No, the terrible movie. There's only one bad movie that they've ever made.
Never mind that. Barefaced and Super Troopers trump all other bad things that they'll ever do.
Even Slamming Salmon. Was pretty good.
Yes. It was pretty good. So what... Right, so you say you love Baby Makers.
What else?
What else?
Next.
Baby Makers is bad. Other than our own four jokes that Jason Odekar says himself, that puts in there himself, it's pretty much a bad movie. Moving on into the more interesting
film. Okay.
I saw Bernie, the new Linklater film, which turns out to be actually really good.
What do you mean turns out to be? Do you not know that Linklater is one of the... Is a really good director.
Isn't Black? Oh god damn it! Today must be the worst day I've ever. Jack Black, isn't he in that one?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, is this
with
the
Matthew
one
McConaughey and Shirley?
This is the one about the funeral, or
right?
Like
where
that?
He shot the woman.
That was Linklater.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And you had that reaction when you saw the trailer as well. let me get this straight. Broken Lizard, bad. Linklater, good.
No, hold on. Don't use Linklater, because Linklater generally is good.
And I'm talking to Andrew here. You see yourself out of this conversation.
What? Do you not like Linklater?
Yes. Okay. But I'm just trying to get it straight. I want to hear what Andrew has to say. Broken Lizard, bad, which is incorrect.
Incorrect.
And by that logic, Linklater, Bernie, good. It's probably bad. Right.
Right, Bernie. So the thing that's kind of weird about this movie is that it looks very obvious that Linklater wanted to make 100% documentary about this guy, as opposed to this amalgamated documentary narrative version with Jack Black as Bernie, Shirley MacLaine as the woman involved, and Matthew McConaughey as the district attorney.
What, and is when it supposed to be a true story?
It is a true story.
It is based on a true story.
I didn't know that.
No. It is a true story. And they have... Everyone who isn't those three is interviews of the people from the real town talking about Bernie. And talking about how unbelievable it was that this individual who they thought was the kindest and nicest individual in the world did this. They still don't believe it. They even get to the point where they find out, you know, the district attorney finds out, the world finds out, and they have to get the district attorney has to get permission from the judge to have the case tried outside of his town, because there's such a positive view on this individual that he doesn't think he can get a conviction, even though it's such clear facts that it happened. There's a confession, and they still don't think they can get a a conviction in this case, and it's insane.
So he's doodles. When...
yeah, kind of. But when it gets really interesting is there are a few scenes, especially with Matthew McConaughey, where they actually have him acting as a district attorney with these real people who you see in interviews talking with him, and it just looks like it's a conversation kind of thing, and it comes off really well, to be honest. I was very, very reluctant going into this movie, but it turned out really good. I'm not calling it a great movie, a perfect movie, mm-hmm. but it's a really interesting way to talk about a real story, you know, kind of almost like an evolution of the documentary, but
listen,
not really.
Here. Is this a movie directed by the same man that gave us Before Sunset and Before Sunrise?
No.
Yes.
What the fuck are you hesitant for? This movie's gonna be awesome.
Jack Black.
Oh,
that's what he's
Douglas. Douglas.
Jack Black. You remember he's in the movie.
Remember, I'm going to point you back to the episode, and uh-huh. you just go and listen back to your response to that trailer.
No, I know. I do. Honestly, I don't. Did I know that it was Linklater that directed
yes,
it? Because I do not remember that.
We told
but,
you, and you.
But,
essentially, what you're doing now is what you did in that
podcast. That trailer did not look. I mean, it looked like it could be interesting.
Douglas, you didn't like the trailer.
I like McConaughey.
Yes.
But Jack Black is so bad.
Yes. He looked good in the trailer, though. I'll watch it. It's linked later.
Exactly.
This past week, the list from Sight and Sound came out. The top 10 greatest films of all time by critics for the decade. And finally, Citizen Kane is no longer number one. But this list inspired me to finally go and watch Tokyo Story, the film by Yasujiro Ozu. I know Douglas probably hasn't seen this. Damien, have you seen this movie
yes,
before?
Yes, sir.
What is your opinion of this film?
Are you sure you
want
it? It's a middling. It's a more yay than nay. Alright, let me explain to you how I saw this show. Film Spotting, you know, our favorite Film Spotting, used to talk about this show like it was manna from heaven. And then I went on the internet, which was a mistake, and the internet said, and they weren't mincing words, that this might be the greatest movie that has ever been put. Essentially what happened is the medium of cinema made love to this movie, and this is the result. And so I sat down prepared to be devastated by the goodness, and I was not. I will not say that the movie is bad, and there's like three people on earth who've seen it that aren't critics, so I don't want to spoil anything about the movie. I expected a far superior movie. Essentially what I expected was Ikiru in Tokyo Story form, but that is not what I got. I got something lesser than, and I am disappointed. But I don't
weirdly
want to
enough,
say the movie is bad.
Weirdly enough, I didn't know what movie I was watching when I picked it up. I just knew, everyone loves it, because it got the number one on the director's list for the Sight and Sound, and it's, what, number three on the critics list? And I'm like, I haven't seen it. Let me get it. And I got it, I watched it, and I was surprised to see how many parallels there are to Ikiru, but at the same time, it's very different from Ikiru in what it focuses on. With Ikiru, while it definitely has that family aspect to it, it's more of a trying to put a stamp on your life, trying to show that there was meaning to the fact that you lived.
Ikiru is one that we watched, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Mm. Tokyo Story, on the other hand, is coming to terms with how disappointing life can be at the end. Not so much disappointing, but just realizing that all of these things around you, people don't value family as highly as they think they should. And it's only when they reach that end point that they finally come to the realization that they should value family. And you realize that no one, while it has this cycle, it's almost like that movie that Damien made us watch that you guys love, but I took issue
spring,
with.
Spring, summer, fall, yeah, winter,
that one,
and spring.
Where there's this, there's this so systemic good. Nature
awesome.
to how people come to realizations that you almost want to shout at the 20-year-old to say, hey, I know you don't think this right now, yes. but you really should think this now.
Yeah, you should stop being a dick. And like these people around you.
And I think it played it beautifully. I mean, I'm not calling it the greatest film of all time.
Then you are incorrect. Because that is what the internet has said.
But the we internet already has talked spoken. With Batman about the internet being wrong.
No, but Batman is backlash. Everybody loved the movie, and so there's assholes who are swinging the other way because that's what the internet is supposed to do. This movie has no backlash. This movie is the best thing that has ever been committed to film, and the reason filmmaking was invented. And I think Ikiru is better. It is superior in both acting and direction. So I do not understand why it is that the internet has masturbated all over his movie. but that is not to say I don't want people to think Andrew is right, the movie is really good, right? But it's just that when I saw it, and I've only seen it once, and that is sad because I've been watching shit movies instead of this great movie, I need to go back and watch it now that I've my expectations adjusted. I don't think you understand, Douglas, when I said the internet loves this movie. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like I've never seen anything even slightly negative about this movie.
Wow.
Right? People talk. I've never read a review that doesn't have perfection in the review. That is how people talk about this movie. Right? I think there's a Guardian review where Douglas, if someone had handed in that review to me as editor, I'd have fired him because he's not even pretending to hide bias. He's like, sweet Jesus, please movie, come into my bed and let me lay with you one last time. Like, oh, guys, stop it. But the movie is really good, again, because I know this is going to come back. The movie is good.
Damon, you know anytime Ikiru is better. You put qualifiers in any of your
words. Right.
I automatically say Damon hated
it. Right. I'm going to hear 2 years from now. I told this movie to go jump off a cliff.
Anyways, the last movie I want to talk about, and actually I think my favorite movie I watched this week, is I finally saw Jiro Dreams of Sushi, the documentary about Jiro.
Yes. The guy that has spent 90 years perfecting how to make sushi.
Right. He's 85 years old and he's still running his restaurant in a Tokyo subway station. And it is a fantastic documentary. It's really, like, on top of it making me hungry immediately after watching it, the movie was just... Damien?
Yes, I'm holding up my hand. For the people who are listening to the podcast, I have a qualifier to what Andrew has just said. You need to bear in mind, and this is key to either liking or disliking this movie, that this is an hour and a half of a guy who really likes fish. When you break it down, it is an hour and a half. Now listen carefully. It is 90 minutes. 90 solid minutes. Of a guy's unwavering love of sushi. Now, if you're willing to commit that time, there's a good documentary here. But if at the end you say to yourself, I just watched 90 minutes of a guy that really likes sushi, then it is not for you. It is not bad. It's just not for you, okay? So if it doesn't sound good, don't. Do not.
So this is the moment where I remind you that you told this movie to jump off a lake. Right.
Right. Right. It and Tokyo Story can go find a large cliff.
what I really like about this movie are the little. First of all, taking away the whole 90 minutes of a guy who really likes fish, right?
And he does like fish.
Yeah, there are. He does, but there are a lot of life lessons to take away from this movie that you don't need to be. I'm working in sushi or I'm working in food or whatever. It's just general, like, if you want to succeed, if you want to become the greatest at what you're doing, this is probably what you need to do.
Tell that to Tyson Gay. Boom! Boom!
Wow. Feel better?
Yep. I have one more. I have one more. Tell that to Asafa or Powell. Boom! All right, I'm done.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. And it's a great way to look at it like that. Like, you don't have to take the word sushi as being it only works for sushi. And I like that about this movie. But there's so many interesting things about the Japanese culture and how this family worked, which I like, which has to do with the fact of you see this guy is 85 years old. His son is his apprentice. His son is 50 years old. He's been working for his father for 30 years. And you can just imagine for him to be sitting there, if we were talking about an American restaurant, for him to be sitting there and going, when is this guy going to die so I can stop being his underling?
So I can start cooking chicken.
Chicken is the way of the future, man. Chicken. And it's a really nice touch. You see them go to the second son who got to leave and go and open his own restaurant. And I even like the way the father put it, where they ask him, like, why did you let him leave? And he's like, look, if I don't let him leave, he's going to suffer. And I realize that he's good enough, so I tell him to go. And I tell him, don't come back. You don't have a bed in my house anymore. You're done. Go. Because that way, it'll give him fuel to succeed even more. And it makes sense. It's a wonderful way to put it. I like even more that it's not only about Jiro, that every time that they mention little elements that come into why his product ends up being the greatest, is that we will go off and we'll have a moment with the tuna vendor who goes and has to go and pick out the tuna who he trusts. We go and have a moment with the guy who gets all the other fish, and it's a great little moment to see that all of these individual people who end up making up these elements that come to this one man, Jiro, and his sushi store, all of them end up in the same vein of excellence, which is kind of really interesting.
What I liked most about the documentary is, coming into it, I went, well, it's clear that this man is crazy. I'd like to see just how crazy. And it turns out that at the end of the movie, he's pretty crazy. And it's good. Like, you see that his love, his passion for sushi, is so great that he has done things that no sane person would have done so that he can. And it's not like he's going out to say, I will make the best sushi in the world, and he just went, I'm going to make this at the best of my ability, and I need all these things in order to get it done. And he knows, that is what I liked. He knows that he's a crazy person. It is not a mystery to him. Yes, devoting so much of his life to sushi is probably not a thing that a lot of people should do. But this is the path he's going down, and it's the path that he's taken. And it was wonderful to see that. And to see, you know, there, when you see people like, I mean, especially, you know, it's Olympic time, when you see people dedicate that much of their lives to this one thing, to see that, you know, it's not just, oh, we're doing it for doing it's sake, but there's some passion there, and he has been able to keep that passion going for 80 something years, and that is really good to see that, you know, see him and the people around him.
Are we still talking about fish?
Yes.
It feels like we've been talking about fish for 80 something years.
What movies did you see again?
I saw The Dark Knight Rises.
Really?
All right, so trailers this week, Let's take bets.
Man, Doug has taken a bet. This fish movie and Take This Waltz will beat Batman at the end of the year. Guaranteed. Wow. Guaranteed.
I don't know about Batman the fish movie, be, but Batman Take This Waltz will
be
definitely.
at about 11 on the list. It'll just miss out.
Take This Waltz and this fish movie. Guaranteed.
Because I can't be seen loving Batman. That's not allowed.
Despite him putting the 10 out of 10 there on the on the
site. Did Separation come out this year or last year?
Last year.
Damn it.
Yeah, hush. Or you can use the same shit excuse you used last year.
Look, Damien. I'm going to purposely name 10 movies that none of you guys have seen, all that I would have seen at TIFF, just to piss you off.
Oh, you fucking asshole.
You know that the internet exists at TIFF, right? Yeah. We'd have heard of these movies.
Yes.
And we'd have known whether or not you're wrong. When we see the trailers, this movie isn't good.
My dream held your hand on that broad avenue. We crossed the road and never spoke to another as we flew. We left your man alone and drank, laughing there at us. A romantic bust, a blunder tongue, explosive blunderbuss.
Speaking of trips.
Yeah. Speaking of trailers, first trailer I want to talk about is Liberal Arts, a new film by Josh Rashner. Why can't I remember his name?
Jesse Fisher.
Professor Peter Hoberg.
I know Ohio is not as glamorous as New York, but they're throwing
me a retirement dinner thing.
When is it?
Weekend of the 25th. You know, check your schedule.
Checking now. Looks like I have to shift some things around. I'll be there.
He never writes, he never calls.
Oh, hey.
Whoa, was that Professor Fairfield?
Yeah.
She was like the best teacher I had here. She was like the second best teacher I had here.
The guy from How I Met Your Mother. Radnor. Right?
Radnor.
Radnor. Okay, I thought there was an SH there somewhere.
Radnor.
Okay.
Or you could just say Ted.
Ted
Mosby.
With him as well as Elizabeth Olsen.
Liz Olsen.
Damien, what did you think?
Liz Olsen! Yay! I'm doing a little dance. This trailer is bad, but Liz Olsen is awesome. I'll watch anything she's in. Douglas pointed out that the music was good. In a shocking twist. But Liz Olsen is in it.
Yeah,
we saw
Liz Olsen.
She was in the 4Ms.
Yep, the 4Ms, and that movie was great.
Is it 4M like a real company?
No, that's 3M, dumbass.
3M, okay.
She looks great in this movie. I pointed out and Damien concurred that she still looks like Vera Farmiga in this movie. This trailer, you see, the funny thing is, take away Josh Radnor. Well, actually, Josh Radnor isn't that much of a pull for me. Exactly. Take away Liz Olsen, and you've got... Take away Richard Jenkins, and you've got the typical trailer that I want to throw up at.
I've seen this movie before, but I haven't seen it with Liz Olsen, and so I'm going to watch this one.
This trailer... It begs the question of not is it going to be pulling my strings, but how hard is it going to be trying to pull them. This trailer has much heart, and you already know that that's not my thing, but there's something about the trailer. It's not just Liz Olsen.
It is just Liz
Olsen. Damien
and the music.
But I think it's not just Liz Olsen. It's not just the music.
Mm-hmm. You keep
I
telling
think,
yourself that.
No.
It's the mixture there's, of there's, both of them.
It's, yes. But this trailer was pretty decent. It definitely made me want to watch the movie.
That's what made you want to watch it. Douglas, you can't be honest to yourself.
Sure,
no, you
sure,
know.
I can't be.
Douglas, all right. Let me make this easier for you. Right? If this movie were from another country, right, and had actors you'd never seen, would the trailer have appealed to you?
You do realize that you're talking to a person that for probably the first 2, maybe 3 years of this podcast recommended nothing but foreign films.
Yeah, you're not answering the question, Douglas. Answer the question. If it was with no-name people...
Probably not.
Okay. Because we've seen trailers like this many times. And they usually turn out... Well, I know we don't watch them at all. We watch them and they turn out mediocre. Liz Olsen is the only... Ted Mosby is not why you're watching this.
No, of course not. No, right? No.
Have you seen Happy Thank You More,
Please?
Yes,
I have.
Right.
Did you like that movie? Or did you... No, that's not the question I should ask. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that movie?
It was okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought though.
Right.
But so, you made it sound like it was terribly hard.
No, I was just saying... I was wondering if you saw that movie because he was the only draw in that movie.
Yeah, he was.
But this movie... If they took out Ted Mosby, it wouldn't make a difference. Elizabeth Olsen is the reason why we are so excited. Because we're legitimately excited for this movie. And that excitement is not coming from the trailer. You and I know that. So, Andrew, you told us to watch this trailer. What did you think?
I can't hear you guys. It Andrew, looks like
there's a mute button that you need to press. Oh, there you go.
Hello.
Oh wow. Hello. That is some serious lag.
What are you downloading, Andrew?
It's not porn.
Well, whatever it is, please stop it.
Boy, Andrew, there's a saying. There's a saying, yes. You know. Yes. Where you throw a stone in a pig pen. It's the one that squeals. Yeah. That is the one you catch in, Andrew. Yep. Andrew, we mentioned nothing about porn.
Yep.
And that's the first thing that
it's not
you
porn.
Come to.
I swear it isn't.
No, so the question that I have to ask you now is not is it porn, but how dirty is it?
What kind
of porn is it?
It's not dirty.
It's clean porn. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's sadness porn. Anyways. This trailer. Yeah, you guys are right. It does look a lot like a lot of those trailers that we would talk about, and then we'd just be horribly disappointed by. But what I'm more interested in is it has to do with Happy Thank You More Please. It was a film that I agree was mediocre, but at the same time, I found what made that movie a failure was the fact that...
Wait, so whoa. What? Was
sorry?
It okay or was it a failure?
It was
which one?
A mediocre failure. It failed at being mediocre.
It failed at being great.
You're horrible, but okay, move on. So what made it a failure was what now?
was that he tried to split up his time between around 4 different relationships in that film.
Yeah, that's true.
Where
it
was painfully obvious that there was one which was really interesting. And this movie looks like it's going to be that one relationship. So I hope that he's going to hone his one good relationship story into this movie as opposed to giving us a bad relationship story, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, actually you make some sense there.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Damon is still harping on the one point.
So moving to the next trailer.
Yes.
Trouble with the Curve.
You need to meet with a specialist. How are you going to scout this guy if your eyes aren't right?
I don't need your help. I don't know why you just don't go home.
Because I feel this dysfunctional sense of responsibility to make sure that you're okay.
Hold on!
How old was Mickey when
my mother died? 6.
How'd you handle all that by yourself?
I didn't.
You sent me away. Only a coward leaves their kid.
Well, you don't know half of what you think you do.
Just know you're not alone.
You want to dance?
Not really.
Oh, what dance? It wouldn't hurt anything.
Sit down. All right. Get out of here before I have a heart attack trying to kill you.
What do you think about this?
Douglas, we're not talking to Damien yet because we don't need to hear his response yet.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of this trailer?
I like the music. I heard the music. I can't remember who it is, but I know that band. Anyway, this trailer, Well, one good thing is that clearly Amy Adams is starting to act again. That's nice. I like her. So you've got Amy Adams, who is awesome. You've got Clint Eastwood, who, I mean, is Clint Eastwood. And you have a bunch of other people.
And
you've got John Goodman. You've got Justin Timberlake, who in... I'm not sure what to read from that yet, because you know me. I am probably the biggest proponent of Justin Timberlake in movies. But I kind of... In my mind, he's pigeonholed. In the sense that I think he's best and really only good when he's trying to be funny, because he's a really funny guy. And he doesn't take himself seriously. But while this looks like this movie is going to have him do some light things where it's not 100% serious, the trailer alludes to this being a somewhat serious movie, and the fact that Clint Eastwood is involved more than promises that it's going to be a fairly serious movie. So I'm not sure how he's going to fit in to that dynamic. I don't want to say that he can't do it, because, you know, anybody can surprise you. And he really hasn't tried that yet. But
disagree with that last statement.
Wait, has he? No, wait.
Anybody can surprise you?
Anybody can surprise you.
Mm-mm.
There are times when somebody you thought was... Anyway, let's not belabor the point. But I want to see where he goes. If he takes it to the serious level, and if he does it well, I'd actually like to see him do it well, because I want to see him in more movies. I honestly want to see him in more funny movies, but I'd take whatever I can get from this guy. And you've got a lot of people. I think I said John Goodman already. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is clearly, I don't want to say star-studded, but there are a lot of big names that I really like watching on the screen in this movie. And with Clint Eastwood at the helm, or I think he's at the helm, I didn't pay too much attention to it. I just assume nowadays that any movie he's in, he's directed. So with Clint Eastwood at the helm, I almost don't need to watch a trailer. I kind of know that it pretty much is going to be a either a good movie or a great movie. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Or Invictus.
Don't bring that up. Oh my god.
This is directed by...
And Hereafter, Robert. Didn't he direct that too?
Oh yes, he did.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm going to have to...
But he didn't direct this.
I'm going to have to rewind and say that Clint Eastwood has bad days along
like
with the rest of them. Now I have a little less faith in this, except for the fact that he didn't direct this movie. But then again, that might actually be a bad thing. He's just saying the words that people put in his mouth. So I'm now not certain, but I still want to watch this movie. It has enough draws for me. Yes, Andrew, I'm sorry that I kind of butted in there.
Yeah. So the guy who directed this movie is Robert Lorenz, and it's his first film directing. However, he apparently, taking a skim at IMDb, has been the second unit director for pretty much the last 10 Clint Eastwood directed films.
Uh-huh.
So Clint Eastwood is directing this
movie. Yes.
So it looks like Clint Eastwood is directed via proxy.
Right.
It's
Putin Medvedev situation.
I do not like this trailer. It looks like someone saw Moneyball get nominated and went, we have an old crusty guy who can go and make another Moneyball. Let's go send Clint Eastwood in. And let's make it be more about heart than anything, and not about an interesting story. And I really want to watch Moneyball again right now.
I still need to watch that movie.
All baseball movies look like that though. Even when we saw the Moneyball trailer, I'm like, they're making another shitty baseball movie.
Did you like Moneyball, Damien?
Yeah, so everybody loves Moneyball. Everybody loves Moneyball.
My PlayStation doesn't want me to watch Moneyball.
Good. It shouldn't.
I was very upset with that.
Right. Okay. So, Damien, the floor is now yours.
No. You say Clint Eastwood is in this, right? All right. This week we reviewed a movie, Midsommar's Lunch.
That's all you need to say.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood is in this. I want love to roll me over slowly, stick a knife inside me and twist it all around. I want love to grab my fingers gently, slam them in a doorway, put my face into the ground. I want love to murder my own mother and take her off to somewhere like hell or up above.
Dammi un bel bianchetto. Acqua tonica per mamma. Mamma,
vieni.
C'è di là l'amministratore. Affrontiamo un po' la situazione.
Senti, mi raccomando,
1600 euro, guarda qua.
100 euro, mamma mia, esagerato.
Ma è 3 anni che non paghi l'Enel. Te la pongo, te le scalo proprio, te le pago io. Me la puoi tenere qua 2 giorni? Mia madre.
And we're moving on to our review of a Midsommar's Lunch.
Mid-August Lunch.
Whatever. A movie chosen by a very special lady who we all love in this room. Some of us more than others. One has defected to another country to get away from her, which doesn't sound like love to me, but whatever. And the movie is set in Italy, where this old man is tasked with taking care of
older ladies.
And
the movie
is pitched as a comedy. Now, Douglas, since it was your time to choose movies, what did you think about this movie? You have seen the movie, correct?
Yes, I have seen the movie.
This is 1 in 4 weeks now.
Shut up.
I think that's 1 point to Douglas. He finally saw the movie.
Well, I made sure that it was on Netflix. Remember, I'm having a problem with actually getting these movies. Yep. So the thing about this movie is that it's sad. I'm very sad for this movie because I can see where it tried to go. And where it tried to go could have worked, but it didn't at all. I don't know why it didn't work, but this movie, as Damien said, is about this guy who is taking care of his mother and kind of gets flung into a situation where he has to take care of all of these other older ladies. And it's kind of hectic. He has to be responsible for all of these people. Certain things go crazy. But in the end, everybody, I don't want to say falls in love, but gets along well and becomes friends and wants to, you know, be together forever. And while that's not a new story, and while it's not an innovative story, and it's not one that you can really play with that much, I can at least see where it could have, if it was told well, and if it was done similarly to a Cinema Paradiso type of movie, that it could have been at least something that I enjoyed watching. And this one definitely was not that, because everything was kind of on the surface. They scraped the surface for everything, and there was no delving deep in anybody. There was no character development, which is what this movie was really probably best suited to, because you've got a very confined space in most of the movie. And I think it's 4 or 5 different people coming from different backgrounds all put together that don't really know each other well. So that is ripe for, you know, some sort of understanding of what each of these people are and how they got there. Because in truth. And in fact, even without this being a movie, for these people to interact, they're going to have to let everybody know that, you know. And there are very vague attempts to do that. You know, you hear about this woman that can't eat cheese, but can read people's palms. You hear about this aunt that has her two children, but clearly it doesn't seem as if they really love her. And, you know, there's all of these things that could really work, and they just don't. And I think that's the saddest thing about this movie. Not that it was a bad movie, but at how much the director failed, or the writer, actually, both of them, the director and the writer, failed at doing their job well.
Andrew Robinson, you seemed excited at the prospect of watching this movie.
Well, I wasn't, because I saw them when they were picking the movie, and it was a funny moment. Like, it was so hilarious to see how similar in style these two individuals decided to pick a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you this, Damien, there was one point when Douglas was scrolling through his options, mm-hmm. and she said, "That one looks nice," and Douglas said, "Mommy, that's dog tooth."
Yes.
Wow.
And I just imagined the day of my mother sitting down and trying to watch Dogtooth, and what she would have thought of it, how long she would have gotten into the movie.
Hey, some people,
but anyways, on to the actual movie. Mid-August lunch. Usually whenever I'm done watching a movie, I hope anyone is done watching a movie, most movies at least, people want to feel like the movie is really a thesis from the director. And there's a question that starts out with why this movie was made, what question the director wants to answer, or the writer wants to answer. And as I was trying to think of what question the writer or director was trying to answer with this movie, I came up with a few options. And I want you guys to decide which one sounds most apt for this movie. How many drinks does it take for a man to be able to handle to survive a weekend with four old women? How much makeup an old woman needs to put on to scare away other women staying in her apartment? And or how much money does this man actually spend on these women as opposed to alcohol?
I think the first one.
I think you've spent too much time thinking about this. Is what I think.
Because weirdly enough, the more I think about this movie, the more I realize the whole idea of this guy is probably one of the worst alcoholics in the world, but just happens to have the wonderful job of only having to take care of his mother. Like, we don't know what he does other than he takes care of this old woman, his mother.
In Italy, everybody drinks a lot, right? No?
I don't even remember which point in the movie it was proposed that the doctor was supposed to bring by his mother, because that just kind of came out of the blue. Did I blink for a long time?
All it was, right? Let me tell you how it went, because
the
it makes no sense.
The doctor checked his prostate and then said,
exactly.
And then said, "My mother is coming, and you have to take her."
Yep.
This guy just owes everybody money, and he has to pay it off by taking care of these women. This movie, Douglas mentioned, it stays within a confined space, and it kind of plays off the idea of a bottle episode. But the thing about a bottle episode in television is most times it forces a lot of character development, and there's none in this movie. It forces a lot of character interest, which there is none in this movie. And it's really just these moments happening one after another. And they're not even that big. They're just old women talking at a table, or a guy trying to find a moment where he can drink his wine in the corner or smoke a cigarette, as opposed to having to prepare food for these people. And it's never that good. And it kind of makes sense, seeing as the writer of this film also wrote Gomorrah, another film which we reviewed way back when, and I don't think any of us were particularly positive on, if I remember correctly.
No, I like
Am I
Gomorrah.
Right?
I'm pretty sure
I love
both
Gomorrah.
Of us, I don't know about you, Andrew, but I'm pretty sure that myself and Damien like that movie.
Really like it. If it's the same movie that I'm thinking about, the Italian Mafia movie.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I love that movie.
With the children thinking they're Scarface.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure I really, really love that movie. I don't know what movie right. you saw, Andrew.
I mean, it's been a long time, and so I don't remember much of it. But
thanks for reminding me about that. I'm going to go out and watch that movie. Just like last week, you made me watch Detention, and I got an excuse to watch Torque again. And Torque is still awesome.
Right. So yeah, this movie, it just felt like a waste of 70 minutes. And that's the weirdest thing in the world, for a movie to only be 70 minutes long. And just be like nothing. It's like the opposite of cotton candy. What is that?
I don't know. I'm the beer that Douglas bought this week.
Everybody, if you see a bottle of yellow beer, don't
There's
buy it.
No way that's beer.
That's not beer,
Andrew. It is not beer.
That's not beer. This is why this supermarket needs to buy things in English. And not put...
Oh, it's the supermarket's fault.
Okay, wait. Let me say the next thing. And not put things like that in the beer aisle with all the beer.
Again, Douglas, you are blaming the supermarket for this?
Yes.
They forced you to buy this.
Yes, they did.
They put it in
they
your
put, they
cart.
Put something in anyways. A nice bottle and say, and expected me
you
not to buy
talking.
It?
Stop talking.
What? Right, so Damian... Right. What did you think of this movie?
So I also saw this movie. You guys have been very nice and measured in your thoughts about this movie. There might be some kind of reason for that. But this movie is really bad. And it is bad in the worst way. It is bad because the writing is bad. It is bad because the directing is bad. It is bad because the acting is bad. The movie is literally falling apart at the seams. And you can tell that they had some kind of idea, but the execution is... It is bad. It is what watching a sulfur pole in the 100 meters is like. A waste of everybody's time and effort.
No, Damian. Damian, it's what watching Trinidad and Tobago in the Olympics is like.
Yes, again, a waste of everybody's time and effort. The movie is just... Like, if the movie had come out on Lifetime, I'd have gone, well, I guess this is the shit that people watch on Lifetime. But I was forced to watch it now, and it is... It is just a drab, boring movie about a premise that could have made sense but ended up not making any sense. And for a movie that is 70 minutes to feel so long and be so boring might be a triumph in another kind of way. Maybe that is what they were testing. They went, we can't just put paint dripping off our ceiling. Because people will catch on to what we're trying to do. What if we make this movie look like a movie, kind of sound like a movie, but have absolutely nothing happen? What will people's reaction be? And our reaction has been extremely negative. No one should watch this. Unless you're trying to torture somebody into giving up nuclear secrets. You don't need to... Prisoners should watch this movie. And people at Guantanamo Bay. I think that's the two people. And this movie is really bad. Like, guys, this movie is really bad. And so for the 8th, 9th week, we've been stuck in this rut. It now falls on Damian.
No, I refuse to say that Detention was a failed week.
It now falls on Damian to hit this out of the park. I'm Babe Ruth in this shit. I'm Usain Bolt in this shit. I'm going to dominate next week. The rot is finally over.
Wait. No.
The great
hold
Damian.
Hold on. I just have to say this because... Yes. I know you're going to do it, mm-hmm. and I'm going to tell you that it won't count if you do, so don't. Right? You are not, right, to just look through your classic movies that you have either watched
right?
or haven't watched but know already is really good and just pick one of those. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed.
That's not fair.
You're not allowed.
God damn it. I'm going to have to do work.
The Dark Knight Rises.
I'm going to have to do work. It was so easy to me to have like 10 movies that I haven't seen that have like 87s on app. John IMDb gave them like 87. It was like torture.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll do work. So it.
By the way,
it has to be within the last 20 years.
I'm pretty sure that Steve Netflix gave this movie that we just watched about like 3.5 stars.
Steve Netflix is an ass.
Mentioned this fuck Steve Netflix.
That man's an asshole. All right, so it has to be within the last 20 years.
The weirdest part, though, is watching this movie. I feel it could have been somewhat interesting if they put more focus on him as an alcoholic.
This movie could not have been more. This movie could have been more interesting by having a cat jump on somebody. Anything would have been better than what we sat down and watched. It literally anything else. They could have had the moon blow up. They could have had a man fart. They could have had an old granny die. Anything would have been better than sitting through this. This movie is the Higgs boson of movies. It is just mass that helps other mass float. It is boring. It is drab. It is horrendous.
Oh!
What did you do, Douglas?
And on that note, guys, we should just leave right there. That's the perfect. We've hit that high point that we usually like to hit. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Douglas, he's DJ. I lost his name on Twitter. Damien is Damien_White with a Y. I'm G-Man Reviews on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes and on the Podcast Alley and a lot of other podcasting apps and syndications. The Unnamed Movie Podcast over at gmanreviews.com. Thanks so much for listening and good night.
My temper got the best of me. And when I say that, I mean I know every single thing that I said was true. And I know that you're mad at me, but if you're thinking like that, I think you'll see that you're mad at you too. Sound obscene, but loud words.